So the reason I chose William Peace was because of their stellar game design program. It's very rare to find a game design program in the United States at all, let alone North Carolina. And this place seemed like the right place for me for where I wanted to go and the connections I could make within the program.
Turn your hobby into a career in one of the highest paid professions in the country with William Peace University's Simulation and Game Design program. Master design, 3D modeling, and programming in a state-of-the-art space with the latest and most remarkable technologies available. Find out more at peace.edu.
Derek Brown, defensive tackle for the Carolina Panthers, signed a big, fat new contract. Many were worried about it, right, because Brian Burns had been moved on, and were they going to get a long-term deal, or were they going to do the same thing they did with Brian Burns, which is let it drag on until it's past the point of no return. Derek Brown's new contract, very good. It's not the sign of something new completely in Carolina. Not yet, at least. I'm seeing a lot of, so this is great. They finally locked up one of their good young players. It's different now, right? It's different. They let all their good players walk before. They couldn't hold any of them in town before. Now they have them locked up for a new, big, fat contract. Whoa, new era in Carolina. If he plays out the contract, it might be the start of a new era in Carolina. Because the easy thing to do is look at this, and I saw a few different media personalities and fans doing this. The three first-round picks before Derek Brown, not still on the team, right? They're all off the team. The three first-round picks in the years before Derek Brown are not Panthers. So locking him up to a long-term deal feels like, hey, this is different. But what you don't realize is, two of the players drafted in the three first rounds before him were also signed to long-term deals. They signed DJ Moore to a second deal. They signed Christian McCaffrey to a big fat contract of a second deal. Signing the contract hasn't necessarily been the problem. Keeping them once you do and not getting second-guessed and not panicking and selling in a trade for less is the problem. I said this with Seth Jarvis yesterday for the Canes, because Seth Jarvis, he's now over 60 points. He has 30 goals. He's leveled up this year in a pretty serious way for the Canes. And Dennis was producing the show. We kind of made the joke that those stats sound like money, right? Seth Jarvis, this upcoming offseason, is going to be expecting some nice offers coming his way from the Canes. And I wanted to emphasize, I said this yesterday, that's not a bad thing. That's not like the Canes aren't going, oh man, we're going to have to pay Seth Jarvis so much more. They're going, yes, Seth Jarvis is playing so well, we have to pay him more. Would have been nice to have locked him up. You know, would have been nice if we could find a way. But it's a net positive when your first round picks play like difference makers and you have to pay them. That's good. The fact that DJ Moore was good enough to get a long-term contract should have been a sign that the Panthers had something moving in the right direction. Here are four consecutive first-round picks for the Panthers. It's DJ Moore. It's Brian Burns. It's Derek Brown. It's Brian Burns. It's DJ Moore. It's Christian McCaffrey. Those are four hits. They went four for four in consecutive first rounds. That's not easy. Go look at all the busts in any – go look at any 2017 draft and look at how many of them are still playing at a high level, still worth a big amount of money. They hit on four consecutive first. It's what they do after they hit that's been a problem. So this new staff, this new organization comes in. It's Dan Morgan. It's Dave Canales. It's their whole crew, right? It's the cap and contracts guy from Kansas City. They get in a room. They're going, great, we hit on Derek Brown. Let's sign him to a big, fat extension. They do that. Okay, you've now gotten as far as the previous regime got with just about all their first-round picks,
yeah.
Aside from Brian Burns. But even they might have gotten there. They might have decided to pay him if they still had the ability to do that. It's not like he walked for free. The hard part is, once you pay a guy, sticking to your guns on it, right? Once you pay a guy, you're saying, we can build around him. Right, when the Canes pay Seth Jarvis, They're saying we can build around him. When the Canes paid Sebastian Aho with a contract extension last year, they're saying we can build around him. Now the hard part is building around him, and you can't second guess. Because that's what they did, right? They paid Christian McCaffrey and said, we can build a championship contender around him. Then a couple years later, they were like, actually, we spent too much on the running. We weren't right. How can we? And they traded him and didn't even get a first-round pick back. There's two hard things to do, two difficult things to do when it comes to organizing a team through the draft, building a team through the draft. One, you have to find the right players and pick them. There's a whole cottage industry built into that. Scouts, director of college scouting, GMs, assistant GMs, the people on Twitter that have Twitter handles like DraftGuru47. Like, there's a whole cottage industry, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, all about that. They did the hard part. They nailed their first-round picks. The second part is finding the complementary pieces to go around them to make up for the fact that you're paying them a lot of money. And maybe saying goodbye to some players that you don't want to say goodbye to. This upcoming, I keep coming back to the Canes because it's playoff time. It's almost playoff time and everyone's into it. There's going to be some players that the Canes don't want to say goodbye to this offseason that they have to say goodbye to this offseason because they know they're building around a core of Svetch and Slavin and Aho and Jarvis. And like they know what they're building around. So that might mean some of these guys on expiring contracts have to see you later. So what are the Canes doing right now? They're signing all of these guys to entry-level contracts. Scott Morrow, their most recent first-round pick, Bradley Nadeau. They're signing these guys to entry-level contracts, having them skate with the team now, so they're prepared for it. It might not be fun, but it's a sign of good things happening. If you have to let good players leave so you can pay better players, that's the way you want it to be. So they chose to pay Derek Brown. Great. You made it as far as Scott Fitterer used to make it. Now you have to keep him. You have to not panic and trade him a year and a half from now. You have to not panic and go, we were wrong. We shouldn't have paid him all this money. Can we get a third round pick for him? Can we package him to move up to the first round pick like you did with DJ Moore? You can't panic. You chose Christian McCaffrey, you chose DJ Moore, and then you panicked. Now you're choosing Derek Brown. Be convicted. Be convicted. Build a defense that you don't need as expensive linebackers behind him because he's gobbling up multiple blockers every play. Build the defense where you don't need to pay as much for corners because he's taken the double team, which is allowing Jadeveon Clowney on the outside to go ahead and get home to the quarterback, right? So the quarterback doesn't get a pass off. It doesn't matter if the guy was open downfield because the quarterback's flat on his back because Derek Brown is the guy you paid. Paying him is not a sign of anything new with the Panthers. It's not some new era. It's not, oh my gosh, thank goodness Scott Fitterer could never. He's their former GM. It's not, oh, Scott Fitterer would never. From this point forward, you can separate yourself from the regime that led them to the worst record in the NFL last year, and it gets worse. The worst record in the NFL last year, and you didn't even have your first-round pick. Derek Brown is your guy. Build around him. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete of Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, is it still true that $1 million is enough to retire on?
Tim, maybe and maybe not. The most important thing is to get a real plan that gives you income you never outlive. We'll give that away to the next 10 people. Call right now.
The number to call, 800-691-3215. Text TIM to 600-700 if you're interested in texting. Once again, that phone number is 800-691-3215 or text TIM to 600-700 for that deal. Sneaking up on us is the NFL draft. So what I thought we'd do is with the 10 shows, each day we'd pick one position group and kind of look at how it's developed since last season and if there is a place in the draft where they could improve that position, or if there is maybe there's not a need to improve it in the draft. Maybe they're good, right? Maybe they're just giving the thumbs up like, nope, we're fine. And I wanted to start up front because that's where football starts, in the trenches. We're going to start with the interior of the offensive line. We're talking guards and center. We're talking about the blindside protectors have become too Hollywood. They're almost not even they're too high paid to be offensive linemen. Start up front with the interior of the offensive linemen. And I actually think this position is the perfect analogy for the Panthers as a whole. Right? This position and what's happened to them over the last couple of months since the new GM, new coach took over is a perfect microcosm of what's happened to the Panthers. Robert Hunt, they brought in on a $100 million five-year deal, an offensive guard. Damian Lewis, they brought in on a four-year, $53 million deal, offensive guard. Austin Corbett moves over to center after dealing with injuries last year and playing guard. This is the microcosm. This is what I mean by that. They have done a ton to change the interior of their offensive line. They have spent money. They have made it a priority. They have done a ton to improve their part of the roster. And when you go on ESPN and you look up the top draft needs for the Carolina Panthers, this part of the field is still listed as one of their three top draft needs. Center is listed as one of their three top draft needs. They spent $150 million over the next 5 years on the interior of the offensive line to change everything, and still ESPN.com is looking at them and saying, you have more work to do. I give the Carolina Panthers' new regime a ton of credit. They did not come in being precious. They did not come in thinking, oh, I don't want to change anything too drastically, right? We've all had new bosses come in, or maybe you haven't. Maybe you own your own business or whatever. I've been in a few situations where a new boss comes in, and guess what they say? I'm not going to change anything too much. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to observe for a while, and I'm going to slowly implement the things that I think are going to make us a better unit. Dave Canales and Dan Morgan came in there with a sledgehammer in their hand. If I were you, I'd duck because I'm making big changes. And I give them respect, right? They didn't come in indecisive. They came in with you get out of here. You get out of here. You bring in the new guy. You bring in the new guy. You, how much money do you want? All right, cool. Derek Brown, take this. Robert Hunt, cool. Take this. The three highest paid players on a per year basis for the Carolina Panthers have all been signed this offseason. It's Derek Brown, it's Robert Hunt, it's Deontay Johnson. One was signed as a free agent, one was re-signed or extended, I should say, as a player that was already on the roster, and one was brought in on a trade. They are doing a little bit of everything. And guess what? There's still a lot to do. The interior of the offensive line, they came in, you get out, you get out, you get in, you get in. How much money do you need? They've done, you change positions. They have done a ton. And guess what? There is still a lot to do. I'm not sure Austin Corbett is the guy at center. He hasn't been durable, first of all. And if there's one thing I want from my center, if I can choose one trait for my center, you might say, explosiveness. You might say Jason Kelsey's athleticism to get to the second level. You might say lower body strength for the tush push. You might say whatever you want. I would say durability. Durability. The quarterback and the center, it's not the same for everyone. I played quarterback in college. I can tell you this. It's a weird thing to say out loud. It's a little sophomoric. You got to get used to the butt. Right? Everyone doesn't snap it the same way. You have to get used to where they like your hands during under center snaps, all the way down to this. I was also a backup quarterback for a couple years in college. And the starting center used to get so mad at me because for a couple practice or a couple periods in practice each week, the starter would go to the sideline and I would go in and run the first team offense as a like, hey, just in case he gets hurt, you got to know how to run the show. And the starting center would get so mad at me because my cadence was different. I swear to you, me and the starter, like we were in choir practice, would be in the quarterback meeting room. Our cadence was our Omaha, like Omaha was red five. So we'd just go red five, set hut, over and over again. Just me and him in a room, red five. I'm trying to match him timber for timber, pitch for pitch, like tempo for tempo. And we'd do it. I'd go out there and the center would be snapping it early, be snapping it late. And he'd go, Tim's cadence is different. The quarterback center relationship is baseball player, baseball glove. It's broken into a way that only fits your hand. So if I have a center that's in and out of the lineup, I hate that.
Yeah.
Hate it with a passion. There's only one position that when they get hurt, the quarterback runs to the sideline, they take a practice ball, and it's not like when the center gets hurt, what does the backup center always do? The quarterback runs to the sideline, you take three or four snaps, right? When a wide receiver gets hurt, you don't see the wide receiver and the quarterback run off to the side and play catch, right? When the running back gets hurt, you don't see the backup running back and the quarterback run off to the side and do handoffs. But when the center gets hurt, you see the quarterback and the backup center run off to the side and take snaps on the sideline because I can't explain it. So if Corbett's going to be in and out of the lineup, you're asking Bryce Young to have that well-worn relationship with more than one guy. It's unfair. And on top of that, Austin Corbett has been in the league for a long time. He's been a guard his entire career. So I'm far from just looking at the center position and saying, oh, yeah, he'll be fine. He's at least been listed as a guard at his entire position. I'm sure he took practice snaps, maybe even the occasional fill-in work, but I don't know if there's room for like, hey, while you're figuring it out, we're going to be trying to play NFL football over here. You have to praise the front office for being intentional about fixing things on their roster that they think need to be fixed. But you have to acknowledge there's still a lot of work to be done. I would not be surprised if there's a second round pick center in the draft upcoming for the Carolina Panthers. I'd be very surprised if there's a guard taken. Unless it's one of those guards who's projected as a center. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a third or a fourth round pick taken at center for the Carolina Panthers, which probably won't get a lot of oohs and ahs from the Carolina fans because it's interior offensive line, but it might be that important. And maybe you let Austin Corbett start the season, but like I said, if he's going to be in and out of the lineup and your draft pick's playing fine, you let him rock.
Need all the options you can get.
You
especially at that position.
You look at Bryce and you say, do you like him? All right, cool. We'll ride with him even when Corbett gets healthy if he's playing well enough. The interior of the offensive line is much, much, much improved. It's far, far, far away from finished. And I would say the same thing about the Panthers as a roster. Much, much, much improved. Far, far, far from finished.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery. At thedesignery.com.